people understand what the book of Ecclesiastes is about, but maybe just to refresh, Solomon is looking for the meaning of life. He has a lot of material goods at his disposal, and that's an understatement. And so he uses all of these things to see if he can find what actually brings happiness, what brings joy, what brings peace. And throughout the whole book, everything he tries, he realizes this is vanity, this is striving after the wind, this doesn't bring happiness. But here at the very end of the book, chapter 12, verse 13, he understands what the meaning of life is. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Our whole duty is to fear God and to obey Him. Think back to Genesis 1:27. We are, as humans, created in the likeness of God. So it makes sense that if we're created in God's likeness, our role, our job, is to honor Him, is to obey what He has laid out for us. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 2, we'll read the first five verses. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This fear of the Lord, this knowledge of God, is so important that we need to search for it as if it were gold, as if it were silver. If we knew that there was some precious metal in our backyard, we would go and we would dig up that entire backyard until we found that, because it's worth something. It's worth our time, it's worth our investment. In the same way, the fear of the Lord is so much more important than that for us to understand. And we have access to that right here. Are we going to search for it? Are we going to find it? That's what I want us to talk about today. What does the fear of the Lord look like in our lives practically? We understand that we're commanded to search for it. We understand that that's our whole duty in being alive, is to obey God, to fear Him. So what is that going to look like practically? First of all, if we fear the Lord, we are going to praise Him. Turn over to Psalm 22. If we're going to fear Him, we have to give Him glory and honor and praise. Psalm 22, verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him. And stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel. Praise Him. Glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him. If we're going to fear the Lord, we're going to praise Him. Every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, we have an opportunity to come here and to praise the Lord, to fear the Lord, to honor Him. If we're not taking advantage of those opportunities, if we're not here every time that these doors are open and Christians are gathered here to worship the Lord, then we're not fearing the Lord like we should. We're not praising Him like we should. But also, we don't need to limit ourselves just to attending worship every week. Every moment of our lives is an opportunity to bring God glory and honor and praise. Every moment of our lives, we need to be seeking to honor Him, seeking to shine our lights to others, seeking to bring others to Him. Is our life a praise to God? If it's not, if we're not using our lives to glorify God, we're not fearing the Lord like He commands us to. Secondly, if we're going to fear the Lord, we need to change who our friends are. Turn over to Proverbs 24, verse 21. Proverbs 24, verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise. Fear the Lord. Don't join with those who are not like-minded. Join with people who are going to strengthen you. Join with people who are going to build you up, who are going to encourage you. This word join, and understand when I say this word join, that I'm talking about the English word. The mentality, the idea that I understand from this word is not just some casual friendship. This is a close friendship. This is somebody that you're joined to. This is some of your inner circle of friends. That inner circle of friends needs to be a group that's going to strengthen you, a group that's going to fear the Lord like you do. If not, then you have somebody who you're not like-minded with, somebody who doesn't fear the Lord, and you're close with them. That's bringing you down. That's weighing you down, and you're not going to be able to fear the Lord like you should. You're not going to be able to praise Him like you should. I think so often we try to excuse our friends and say, you know, they really aren't as good of a person as they need to be, and they do this and that, and they shouldn't do that. But you know what? I think I'm strong enough that I can remain strong in that. We need to quit trying to survive our friendships and make friendships that are going to build us up and be beneficial to us. We need to make friendships with people who fear the Lord, and when we are weak and when we are stumbling, are going to pick us up and say, look, you're not doing right. You need to get back on track. If we don't have that close circle of friends that's going to encourage us, that's going to pick us up, we're not going to be able to fear the Lord like we're commanded to. Third, if we want to fear the Lord, we must put away our idols. I think we don't think of idolatry as a big deal for us often. And I hope that there's nobody here who's bowing down to an image in their home. I hope that's something that we don't struggle with. But we deal with idolatry. Turn over to Ephesians 5, verse 5. Ephesians 5, verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. If we are sinners, if we are covetous, if we are sexually immoral, that is the same as idolatry. Anything in this life that gets in the way of God and causes us to not spend enough time on God and not have our focus on God, anything that distracts us from God is idolatry. Turn over to Joshua 24, verse 14, with that in mind. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Notice He doesn't say, don't worship those other gods as much. He says, put them away. If we have something that is distracting us from God, that is taking away our time, and we're not worshiping Him, we're not praising Him like we should be, we need to get it out of our lives. Put away your idols. One more passage on this note. 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. First Samuel 12, verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. Fear the Lord and serve Him with how much of your heart? With all of it. There's not much room for anything else when we serve the Lord with our whole heart. I think sometimes when we realize that our priorities are messed up, we kind of go about it backwards in trying to fix that. And we say, okay, I'm going to cut down on this, all right? You know, I'm not going to watch as much TV this week, and I'm going to spend more time in prayer, spend more time reading the Word. Really what we need to be doing is spending our time on God, filling our hearts up with God, praying to Him, singing praises to Him, reading His Word. Fill our hearts up with that. And then what's left over, we'll spend on ourselves, on our free time. We need to put that focus on God. Set our hearts on God and nothing else. If we have idols in our lives, if we have distractions in our lives, we're not fearing the Lord like we should. We're not fearing the Lord like we are commanded to. If we are going to fear the Lord, we must continually turn away and develop a hatred for evil. We have to develop a hatred for evil. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 13. This is a really striking passage. A lot of times we think that we're doing well if we're avoiding evil. You know, we are standing strong. But the Lord offers us more encouragement. He gives us more of a challenge here in verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 8. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Avoidance of evil is not enough. We have to hate evil. Not even want to see it, not want to hear about it. We have to hate it. Why is it that we need to hate evil? Because God hates evil. And if we are going to fear the Lord, we need to be as much like Him as we possibly can. We have to hate evil. If we don't avoid evil, and most of all, if we don't hate evil, then we are not fearing the Lord like we're commanded to. If we are going to fear the Lord, it means that we must lead others to Him. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. I referenced this in the class and said that I was going to mention it again, so it's doing double duty today. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. As I've read this passage, over and over again in preparing. I looked for the clause in that where it said, if you're good at that sort of thing, you know, persuade others, bring others to Christ, if you're good at that, if you have time to do that, if your work schedule isn't too busy. But there is no way around it. This is a command that we are given. We need to be evangelistic. We need to be out in the world trying to bring others to Him, trying to bring others to Christ. If we're not doing that, we're not fearing the Lord like we should be. I know that this is something that I fall short on. We need to be out bringing others to Him. What a challenge that is for us. So we understand some of what this is going to look like practically in our lives if we are going to live this way, if we are going to fear the Lord. We're going to praise Him. We're going to pick our friends carefully. We're going to put away our idols. We're going to hate evil. And we're going to lead others to Him. This is going to make us look very different if we're living this way. And that in itself should give us opportunities to be able to speak about God. People may come to us and say, why are you different if we're living this way? So this is how we need to live if we are going to fear God. What are the blessings that we will receive that are promised to us in Scripture if we live this way? First of all, if we fear the Lord, we will receive knowledge and wisdom. Look at Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The first seven verses of Proverbs are a prologue to the book, an introduction. It talks about who the book is written to. It's written to those who are simple, who don't have wisdom, and it's written to those who have wisdom, that they may gain wisdom. And I think that spans just about everybody. So it's to everybody. And then at the end of the introduction there in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is the foundation that knowledge is built upon. So when we have the fear of the Lord, we're going to be given knowledge. We're going to be given understanding, wisdom. But look at the second half of that verse. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's foolish for us not to fear the Lord, not to have this wisdom and this instruction that comes from Him. Secondly, if we fear the Lord, we will receive blessings and life. Look over in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. This is a beautiful psalm. Anytime that you need encouragement, turn to this psalm. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What an encouragement this is. But look with me in verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear Him will have no lack. If we fear Him, we will not be in need of anything. He will bless us with all our needs. Look over in Proverbs 10, verse 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27. He promises life to us if we fear the Lord here in this passage. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. There's a contrast here between the one who fears the Lord and the one who is wicked. The one who fears the Lord will live, but the one who does not, the one who is wicked, will not have life. Third, if we fear the Lord, we will have deliverance, security, and peace. Look over in Psalm 34, once again, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 34, verses 7 and 8. This is one of my favorite verses here. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. What a beautiful idea. The angel of the Lord guarding those who fear Him. Then in verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." The Lord is going to protect us. He's going to keep us when we fear Him and when we look to Him in everything. Look over too in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts is a book that has a lot of persecution in it. It was not an easy time to be preaching the gospel whatsoever. But you notice here in Acts 9, verse 31, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up." Why does it have peace? Why is it being built up? Because they're walking in the fear of the Lord, there in the second half of that verse, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Even in the midst of all this persecution, even in the midst of a book where the apostles are constantly in chains, constantly imprisoned, there's peace because they fear the Lord. Notice too, at the very end of that verse, it multiplied. The churches are not only safe, they're not only experiencing peace, but they're growing. Why? Because they are fearing the Lord. And that's encouragement for us to go and to teach the Word to others, because we're going to be successful if we fear the Lord and we follow through with this and we teach the Word to others. We're going to be successful, we're going to grow, and we're going to add people to Christ. To recap what we've talked about this morning, how are we going to live our lives? What is it going to look like if we fear the Lord? We're going to praise Him. We're going to be at worship every time the doors are open. And in our lives, we're going to worship Him. It's going to look different. People may think it's strange, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to praise Him in everything that we do, in everything that we say. We're going to choose our friends more carefully. We may even change who our friends are, because we're worried about having a friend group that's going to build us up and going to encourage us and pick us up when we've fallen and lead us back to God when we're straying. We're going to put away our idols and distractions. We don't have time for that. We've filled our hearts up with God. We're going to hate evil because God hates evil as well. We're going to be evangelistic and we're going to bring others to Him. And the blessings we will receive are wisdom, life, and protection. I think often, when, as kids, we ask this question, well, what does the fear of the Lord mean? Because that is it doesn't seem to make sense in our minds the way that we use the word fear oftentimes. And I think the first answer that I remember getting was always, well, it doesn't mean that we're afraid of God. And I don't think that that is true at all. I think that we do need to have a fear of God that leads us to Him. We need to be afraid of this God that can destroy our bodies in hell. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Notice the very end of the verse there, Philippians 2, verse 12, at the very end. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." for it is God who works in you. We need to be afraid of this God who can punish us eternally for doing wrong. But that needs to lead us right into His arms. We need to work out that salvation so that we can be with Him instead of experiencing His wrath. In conclusion, let's turn back to where we started. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What is the whole duty of man? Why are we here? Why were we created? Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 says, once again, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is why we were created. This is why we're here, so that we can bring God glory and honor and praise. But look at verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. On judgment day, God will decide if we have feared Him, if we have honored Him, if we have fulfilled what our whole duty was to do on this earth. That will be decided in judgment day. Let us live our lives in light of judgment day, in light of the hope of eternity. Let's draw nearer to God. Let's pray as we close. Lord, we are in awe of You. You are so powerful. We are so small. Help us to honor You like we should, to fear You like we should. Help us to obey You. Help us to be with You someday. Help us to live our lives in such a way that we honor You. And Lord, we know that no matter what kind of people we are, we can never attain to Your standard. And that's why we're so thankful for Jesus, who was perfect, without defect. And He came and He died on the cross so that we could have that hope of eternity. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you haven't taken the first step to fearing God and walking with Him, and you realize that you've sinned and you've fallen short, the waters of baptism are prepared. There are people here ready to help you. And if you're subject to this invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.